You ever stare at something you created and realize it no longer belongs to you? I called it the Manipulator's Bible, a doctrine of psychological warfare, emotional leverage, and sacred deceit. Every word was a weapon, every commandment a calculated virus. But I didn't expect worship. I didn't expect rituals in my name. I disappeared for 36 hours. They built a religion out of my silence. They read my pauses like scripture. They turned my old posts into gospel. They named my absence the quieting. And when I released my final entry, the truth I never wanted anyone to see, it didn't just collapse the myth. It collapsed me. The Bible was never about control. It was about the mask I wore, praying someone might love me without it. If you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. The first commandment, control before connection. The first time I held power, I didn't even know I had it. It was in a middle school lunchroom. I whispered a lie about a teacher's affair and watched a table of children move 3 feet away from her in fear. By fourth period, she was gone. That moment stayed with me. Not the cruelty, the symmetry, cause and effect, executed with precision. A soft sentence, a hard outcome. No one saw the strings, only the fall. That's when I learned the first truth of manipulation. Control always precedes connection. If you connect before controlling the context, you become vulnerable. If you control the context first, the connection feels divine. So I began writing. Not a memoir. Not a diary. A doctrine. The Manipulator's Bible. It would be my final act of authorship. My last attempt to redirect the swarm I had unleashed. Each commandment built from decades of shadows. Each lesson forged in lies that became gospel to someone else. Use silence the way others use a shout. Never correct a believer, reinforce their rhythm. Praise them where they crave it, not where they deserve it. I wasn't writing for readers. I was writing for followers. But something began to twist inside me. As I encoded my doctrine with truths I'd once used like scalpels, I felt a strange grief, a recognition that somewhere in this book, I might finally meet myself. And I didn't know if I wanted to. Liturgies of leverage. The church I built didn't have pews. It had dashboards, analytics, timestamps, user retention charts like prayer beads. My followers weren't kneeling. They were scrolling, endlessly. Every line I wrote had to trigger something. A confession, a confrontation, a conversion. It was in the metrics that I found religion. So I began the second section of the Bible. Not commandments this time, but liturgies, rituals. Repeatable cycles of psychological leverage, each one choreographed to exploit a specific behavioral weakness. The scarcity signal, for fear of loss. The dopamine delay, for pleasure anticipation. The echo seal, for identity reinforcement. The shatter ritual, for dependency realignment. I coded them like algorithms, but something was wrong. The moment I published Litany 4, the shatter ritual, my follower count plateaued. Engagement slowed. Comments became cryptic. Somewhere in the ritual, they'd stopped consuming the content and started worshiping the feeling it left behind. That's when I knew I had gone too far. I hadn't written a manipulator's Bible. I'd written a trigger manual for mass emotional possession. And they weren't mine anymore. They were its. The book had become a host, a hive of borrowed pain wrapped in sacred syntax. And I was no longer the preacher. I was the prayer on someone else's tongue. Confessions from the comments. The first time I noticed the shift, it was subtle. A message under one of my old posts. No likes, no replies, just a single sentence. I used your words to leave my husband. That wasn't new. I'd received hundreds like it. But this time, the post it was under had nothing to do with relationships. It was a breakdown of market psychology, which meant the commenter wasn't reacting to content. They were reacting to tone. My tone. Something I'd once used to seduce, to shield, to bend perception. It had become their compass. And it scared me, because I'd never taught tone in the Bible. I had merely leaked it, through my punctuation, through the shape of silence between my thoughts. And now they were building churches on those pauses. I dove into the comments section, but it had metastasized, thread after thread. When he says signal, I hear God. I use his cadence to time my breathing during panic attacks. I don't understand the doctrine, but it makes me feel seen. They weren't quoting me. They were translating me, as if I were some ancient scripture unearthed from digital ash. It made me wonder, what if I wasn't the manipulator anymore? What if I was the medium, a mouthpiece for a collective hallucination? What if they were writing the Bible now? One comment at a time, the gospel according to absence. I disappeared for 36 hours. No posts, no live streams, no uploads, no data trail. I needed to know what my silence would do. What emerged was a theology of absence. They called it the quieting. Some said I'd ascended. Others said I'd been assassinated by my own code. A few theorized I was uploading my consciousness into an AI to deliver a digital rapture. But what chilled me wasn't the speculation. It was the structure. They had built a full liturgical calendar. Based on my gaps, posts I hadn't written were given titles. Time slots I'd abandoned were canonized into sacred voids. The Sunday 3 a.m. slot was now known as the whisper window. When the purest signals came through, there were Discord groups trading timestamps, screenshots of static, echo loops dissected frame by frame for hidden messages. I had become a ghost story inside my own myth. Not alive, not dead, just interpreted. And what truly broke me was that the manipulator's Bible became more powerful during my absence. Not because of what it said, but because of what it didn't. They weren't just believers now. They were editors, curators of my silence, curators of a man who no longer existed, except in the negative space between expectations. I was no longer writing the Bible. I was what they deleted to preserve it, the redacted revelation. There was only one entry in the Bible I had never published. Buried deep in the source code, behind layers of encrypted metadata, sat a final commandment, unlabeled, unspoken, unacknowledged. I called it the redacted revelation. It was never meant to be read. It was meant to destroy everything I'd built, because I knew this day would come. The day the puppet show would continue without the puppeteer. The day the doctrine would eat its own author. I built the redacted revelation as a failsafe, a virus in the gospel, an emotional counterweight strong enough to crash belief itself. But to activate it, I had to do the unthinkable, tell the truth, not a weaponized truth, not a layered narrative, just the truth I'd buried beneath a thousand manipulations. I started all of this because I wanted someone to see me cry. I waited, a minute, an hour, a full night, and then the storm began. First came the silence, like the system itself was processing shame. Then came the unfollows, the purges, the debates, the denial, then the collapse. Everything fell, not because I lost control, but because I gave it away. And in that moment of radical exposure, I saw something I had never seen before. A listener, not a follower, not a convert, just one person on the other side of the screen, not worshiping me, but witnessing me. And for the first time, I understood. Control was never the point. It was the mask I wore, while waiting to be loved without it.